December 25 was not Jesus' actual birthday, but it's the date set aside long ago for us to honor that birth. For Mary, his mother, that birth began a long period of pain and sorrow, a personal toll we seldom consider during this time of year. This is a special edition of Running to Win, helping us understand the real cost of Christmas. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, join us as Dr. Lutzer brings us more of a Christmas message on the manger and the sword. Jesus is facing his accusers, as recorded in John chapter 8.
But I want you to notice their response in the middle of verse 41. He said, "You are doing the deeds of your father." And they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." They're saying, you know, but you were. We know about your roots. We've done research. We know how you were born there in Nazareth. And we've discovered that all the townspeople know that Mary was pregnant before she was married to Joseph. And we weren't born that way. And they throw the words in his teeth and in his face. Mary knew that. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, she had to listen to things like this. It says in verse 48, the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan?" That was a racial slur, if there ever was one. "And you have a demon." That's really the way we explain you. And Mary and her other children understood that those were the kinds of things being said about her son. And as they were said, her face became flushed with the shame that she had to bear. And there was no way to correct the misunderstanding. Have you ever had to live with that? Things are said about you that you know right well are not true, but there's absolutely nothing that you can do to correct the mistaken impression, and you need to live with that misunderstanding, and God in his infinite wisdom does not deliver you from the pain, the shame, the hurt, and the ruined reputation. Oh, how right Simeon was. Yes, the sword of perplexity entered into Mary's soul, and then it began to twist, and the blade cut her deeply, and it became the sword of shame, all because she bore the Christ child. But there's a third sword that entered into Mary, and it was certainly the most difficult for her. And it was perhaps what Simeon was really talking about when he made that prophecy so many years earlier. It was the sword of anguish, the sword of anguish. For that, we turn to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, and this is where Mary experienced her most difficult moment. John chapter 19. Let us rehearse what Mary actually saw that day as to what Jesus had been going through. Let's think it through. Here is Jesus, and the scripture says that he was scourged. Do you know what scourging was? They used to take little whips, and on the end of those whips they would have bits of metal and bone, sharp metal. And then they would whip someone, and they would whip his entire body from top to bottom until he was absolutely lacerated. One of the purposes was to so cause him grief and pain that even the crucifixion itself could scarcely be felt. And then they said to Jesus, "Bear your cross, here it is, drag it out to the place of the skull." Why did they do that? The reason is because in those days it was believed that if you bore your cross, that was a sign that you accepted the reality of your impending death. That's why Jesus said we should bear our cross when we follow him. And so Jesus drags this cross out to the place of the crucifixion. And in those days, you were then put down on the ground, and they would put the nails, not through your hands, as we generally think, because the flesh would not be strong enough to be able to bear the weight of the body, but rather through the wrists. And so Jesus was laid on this cross beam, and he was nailed to that crossbeam, and then it was lifted by soldiers and put into the prepared hole with a thud. And there, cowering near the cross to watch the final moments, are four women, only one disciple, and among the women, bless her heart, is Mary, his mother. Oh, how she would have given anything to be able to take his place. But she knew that that would not be possible, because she was standing there at the cross not to participate in redemption. She herself knew that she had to be redeemed, but she was participating only in seeing the agony and feeling the indescribable hurt and pain. You mothers have stood beside the bed of a suffering child. Some of you have stood beside the bed of a dying child, and you know how much it hurt. And you know, Samuel Johnson said that nothing concentrates the mind like the knowledge that one is to be hanged. You know, if you knew that you were to be hung tomorrow, you would be very focused in your thoughts. We could forgive Jesus at this moment for thinking only of himself in this excruciating pain, but he doesn't. The Bible says that as best he could, he opened his eyes and saw Mary just standing at the foot of the cross, because Jesus could not even raise his head. His head hung helplessly, and he said, "Woman, behold your son." He was not referring to himself, as the subsequent text indicates. You'll notice in verse 27, "Then he said to the disciple," that is to John, "Behold your mother." Behold your mother. This is the first indication of the New Testament of surrogate parenting. Very important. What Jesus is saying to John is, he's saying, "John, take my place. Look after her just as I would look after her. Look after her just as I have been looking after her." Most Bible scholars think that Joseph by now had already died, because he just disappears from the pages of the New Testament very early on. And Jesus is saying, "John, be to my mother all that I have been to her. Take care of my domestic responsibilities." And you know, isn't that exactly the place where the church is at today with its single parents? Some of you women, single mothers, bless your heart. You need surrogate fathers for those children. Some of you widows need other people's sons to take care of you. And the infirmed and the ill need the care of those who are able to help them and really represent Christ and stand in for him and be all that Jesus would be if he were here physically in the flesh. Some time ago, my wife read to me a story. She pointed it out that she had read about a man who left his wife, lived adulterously, then divorced his wife, married the other woman, and had several children by her. And then he realized that he was dying of cancer, and he knew that his wife, his present wife, would never be able to take care of those children. But he remembered that his first wife was such a fervent, loving Christian, he asked her to rear his children that he had by the second marriage. And she did it. She did it, and she said she loved those children as her own. I can almost hear Jesus on the cross saying, "Woman, behold your children." And again, "Children, behold your mother. Take my place in the broken, fractured families in America today." Mary was there, and she saw all that. And that's the time when that sword that Simeon predicted would come into her heart. The sword reached its most sensitive target. The very heart of a woman who had to see the Son of God die, the boy she had born, and he dies helplessly, and there are no angels that come to deliver him. And there are no voices out of heaven that prevent the crucifixion. There is nothing but gloom and darkness and pain and anguish. And here she is being told 33 years old earlier, "Oh, blessed art thou among women." So that's what God's blessings are like. Yeah, exactly. The blessings of God often come wrapped with burdens. And the pain sometimes is very evident in the very good things that God gives us. There is honor and there is often hurt, great hurt. You say, well, Simeon predicted that a sword would pierce Mary's heart, but we don't have that kind of a sword today, do we? Oh, yes, we do. We do. You know, Jesus said a remarkable thing, and you need not turn to the passage, but it is there. I'm not making it up. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, verse 34, he said, "Behold, I come not to bring peace to the earth, but," he said, "I come to bring a sword." Wow, that does not seem like a Christmas text, does it? And yet that's the words of Jesus. You see, what Jesus is saying is that because of my coming, homes are going to be divided. He says fathers are going to be divided against their sons and mothers against their daughters, because there are going to be those within a family who accept Christ as Savior, and there are going to be those who reject Christ within the very same family. Now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you're going to be going home for Christmas and you are going to be with families that are divided. You know Christ as Savior, perhaps, but your parents do not, or it could be the other way around. Families are divided in all kinds of different ways. Some of you right now, you're in a marriage where one of you is a believer and the partner is not a believer. And you know that no matter how much fellowship there is, no matter how good the relationship might be, there is always that knowledge that there is that barrier, because there is one that belongs to Jesus Christ and there is another that does not. And Jesus said, that's why I came. I came to bring that kind of division, because those who are loyal to me are going to be separated from those who do not know me. And Christ divides the human race in two. He divides this congregation in two. He divides our radio audience in two. Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course, during this Christmas season, we think that Jesus Christ unites everyone, because everyone loves the baby in a manger. Everyone celebrates Christmas, even those who have no idea who Jesus Christ really is. But I've often said that the better they get to know him, the more they will end up turning against him, because Jesus Christ is the light. And once you understand that he is the light, there are many people, perhaps even in your own family, who prefer the darkness. Well, I do want to take this opportunity to wish you a very, very blessed Christmas, and to encourage you to stay tuned, because next time we're going to continue the message, The Manger and the Sword. We're going to honor Mary. We're also going to understand that bearing the Son of God was a very, very difficult task. I'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought the second portion of The Manger and the Sword, a message about Mary, who paid a great price to be the mother of Jesus. Tomorrow, tune in for the conclusion of this dramatic story. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Today's Christmas message can be yours on CD, sent as our thank you, when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for our next Christmas edition of Running to Win.